bet winner. Two lengths in front. Americans a bit flat at the moment. Drunken Sailors giving chase with Southern Speed, then Precedence. Still Managar with 150 metres to go. The Grey by two lengths. Drunken Sailor, American. Managar, 50 metres to go, clear. And Managar, won again, won the BMW.
This is Sky Sports Radio, your racing leader.
Sky Sports Radio has a special edition of BSB Extra on Monday morning. Join Ron Duffacy, Ray Thomas and Glenn Munsey when they preview every Randwick race. Scratchings, track reports and the tips. Monday morning at 9 on Randwick. BSB Extra.
Here on Sky Sports Radio.
Chasing and Pacing Rewind, Sunday mornings at 10:30.
Yeah, that is us here on Sky Sports Radio. We say good morning to Fred Hastings. Hey, Fred.
Kev, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing well, and you're probably still on a high with what you saw last night. Your call was outstanding. We'll relive that shortly with Lazarus, but wow, how privileged were you to see such a great horse?
That's the thing, and I say this quite often, Kev. It's a privilege having a job that I've got where I see the very best of the best. And I rate him the best ever. I just, you know, it was my first look at him in the flesh, and he just did what we thought he'd do. He was given a race. It wasn't there on a platter for him. He had to earn it. He had to work to the lead. He had to stave off his stablemate and the game Salty Robin, who boxed away for third. But you just knew there was anticipation in the air last night, you know, with him being there for the first time at Menangle, and he didn't let us down, Kev.
What a great thrill. We'll hear that race in just a moment, but take us through the week that was in harness racing first.
Well, the Canberra Cup kicked it all off last Sunday, and Shane Sanderson trained Pacer, won the Canberra Cup. It was driven by Chris Geary, and he would have been on an absolute high because young Chris partnered Yaya's Hotspot the night preceding in the Hunter Cup, so he ran second in that race. It was a big thrill for Chris, and less than 24 hours later, he annexed the Canberra Cup for Shane Sanderson and Chantre. Orange, I'll talk more about Orange in a moment in our news segment, but they held a successful card on the grass at Towak Park, and Steve Turnbull dominated there with four wins. Tamworth also raced last Sunday, and young Nathan Carroll made it three wins. Bankstown, Kerry McDowell trained three wins on the Monday. Dave Morris got a double at Menangle on Tuesday. A bit of a milestone achieved at Bathurst at the Wednesday meeting there with Robert Morris. He's been driving for about 8 or 9 years. He notched up 1,000 career wins, young Robert, and he's going to be one of the stars in the driving ranks going forward. He's already a star, really, but 1,000 wins in such a short time. A young bloke, certainly in the genes, and he achieved that milestone on Wednesday at Bathurst. Leon Gerd trained a double at Penrith, continuing on his winning way. And then it came down to Newcastle. Young Dan Morgan, he's only a young lad. He drove four winners on their big program last night. And, of course, at Menangle last night, we saw the Game Bid Group 3 Trotters. Tough Monarch won that and won it by a comfortable margin. Cyclone Kate, she's always been a very good race mare, but she had to step up last night and she won the Group 2 Sibelia and earns a spot in the Ladyship Mile. And, well, the Group 1 Chariots was taken out by the mighty Lazarus.
Yep, and this is how Lazarus did it, and sit back and enjoy your call here, Fred.
55-2, the half and the leader is Lazarus. Salty Robin sits at its wheel at the 600 metres. Third is Anything for Love. Then our Waikiki Beach having a charmed run. Further back then on the inside is Armour the Gun, followed then by Further Afield. Let's Chase the Dream. Sam's the Master. And the others are being headed well out of its ground by Matt Gregor, Stanley Ross, Robin and Dash of Luck. Lazarus comes to the final bend, 27-1 third quarter. Salty Robin's about to go to war with the champ. And then came Anything for Love, our Waikiki Beach, and Let's Chase the Dream peels to the outside, but it's Lazarus in front. Anything for Love's poking up on the inside and down the outside, running on as our Waikiki Beach. Lazarus has to lift. He does. He gets a length in front, trying hard as our Waikiki Beach. It's an all-stars Quinella, but Lazarus, they say he's the best of the southern hemisphere. I reckon he's the best on the planet. Beats our Waikiki Beach. Solely Robbins run third, a game run, and then we've got Anything for Love in company there with Sam's the Master, Matt Gregor. Let's Chase the Dream, Arm of the Gun, Stanley Ross Robin, Dash of Luck. He blew his chance at the start, 26-6. The time sits at 1:49. They've broken 1:50. It's just a matter of whether that will be official or whether it'll break down to 1:48.9. We'll stand by for that. And it's 1:49 officially. Lazarus wins the Chariots.
There he does. And what about that outstanding Freddie? You get goosebumps hearing it again?
Oh, look, It's always when you get those sort of big calls. Okay, you sort of it's more a relief sometimes because, as I said, there's such anticipation leading into these big races, and you don't want to stuff them up, and so to get through it okay and to see him do what he did, it's quite satisfying. But look, it's all about him. He's a superstar horse, and as I said, I'm not prone to making outlandish statements. I don't think, Kev, especially when it comes to the the horses, but I don't resile from my comment there. I think he's the best pacer on the planet.
Yeah, that's such a big call, isn't it, given that the greats that we have had. And the last thing you said on the call was, see you in 2 weeks, Lazarus. Tell us about in 2 weeks.
Well, 2 weeks we've got the Miracle Mile, and Lazarus, by winning the Chariots, gets an automatic invitation into the Miracle Mile. It's just up to the stable to accept. The key thing here with Lazarus is he hit a bit of a flat spot, to my eye, at about the 250-300, and a few of the horses were making ground on him, and that could have been just the telling tale of the tough campaign he's had leading into last night's race. But champions do what champions do, and he dug in. He was in for the fight, and I said in the call he had to lift, and lift he did, and he was able to hold our Waikiki Beach. Thrilled to see our Waikiki Beach improve on his form. Certainly, his run when he ran fourth in the power face was a lot better on paper than first may have appeared, and he's just taken a bit of time to come to hand. He's an outstanding animal, and just to see him back somewhere near his best was a real thrill. Salty Robin kicked on stoutly, a very much quality horse, and anything for Love's Run, not to be underestimated. It made the pace early. They went 26.8 early before he was headed off by Lazarus, but stayed on, was even trying to, had the temerity to poke up on the pegs at about the 200, and I thought, look out, isn't there an upset on the cards here? But he stayed on for fourth, and it was a good run. He's a quality horse too, anything for Love. But in 2 weeks' time, the Miracle Mile, Mark Purden gets the benefit with Lazarus of a week off. He's run, that was four consecutive Saturday nights in four Group 1 races.
Hmm.
He raced in the Ballarat Cup, where he ran second. He won the Victoria Cup. Then he raced in the Bonanza to get into the Chariots, and he won the Chariot. So he's had four tough Group 1 runs in a row. He gets next week off. My suspicion is that maybe they'll head to a trial, because I know that's what they're planning on doing with Our Dream About Me. She's ladyship ladyship bound on Miracle Mile night, and the word came through from Menangle last night that the stable weren't going to run her next week. They were actually going to trial her on Tuesday at Menangle, and then again the following Tuesday leading up to the ladyship. So she's going to virtually come out of a two-mile race at Alexandra Park in the Cup there, back in December, and run straight into the Ladyship Mile some 3 months later.
So, Fred, between races, when you are calling at Menangle or Bankstown or Penrith, do you go for a wander down, or even before the race meeting starts, down to the stables? And did you do that last night, just have a look at Lazarus standing there in his stall?
Look, not during the night, because, on a big night like that, you don't want to get in people's way.
Right.
So I try and stay away. The fact that it was 45 degrees.
That's true.
It was about 42 in the broadcast box,
yeah,
with the sun beaming in through the from the west, but there wasn't much respite. But look, no, I just try and stay out of the way. I did wander down after the race, and I had a quick word with Natalie, because Mark was officiating at the presentation for Lazarus, and Nat was in taking the gear off our Waikiki Beach and giving him a well-earned drink and a hose down. But, and while I'm down there, naturally enough, I bump into a lot of trainers and drivers and, have a quick chat. I spotted James Rattray. You heard in the race there that he blew his chance at the start. A very uncharacteristic mistake from Dash of Luck. And I know the camp were quietly confident the horse could very well run a place, and he broke at the start and blew his chance. And the look on James' face, mate, he was absolutely gutted. He was despondent. And you can't help but feel when these people put in so much effort and work to get a horse to that level, and the horse made a mistake at the start. James just looked shattered. But he's a champion bloke, James. He'll bounce back, and we'll see Dash of Luck, no doubt, bounce back, and his team. But he just encapsulated racing that few minutes I was down there, Kev. The high of Natalie running second in the Chariots, knowing that part of the All-Stars team won with the champ Lazarus, and I turned around to my left and saw James walking towards me. Then I was chatting briefly to Lauren Tritton, about Salty Robbins' run and how proud they were of the, both their horses running third and fourth. You know, it was a tale of two cities, really. The euphoria and then the relief, I guess, with the Tritton team that they did do so well, and then the despondent look on James' face. It was just really encapsulated racing those few minutes I was there.
Yeah, that's racing to a T, isn't it? The reason I ask is I'm just wondering that horses have... The great horses have a presence, and I'm just wondering what it was like to be around Lazarus. Does he have that aura?
Just looking at him on the track, he's just got that bull-headed... I won't say arrogance, because, it's not a nice word sometimes, but the good horses know they're good horses,
if
that makes sense. And we've seen it over the years with many great horses, whether they be standard bred or thoroughbred. They just know they've got... And they do. You're right, they have a presence. And I'll be making sure on Miracle Mile Night, I'll be there very early before the meeting starts, and I might even try and get a selfie with the great horse.
And I'm sure that he'll be thrilled about it as well. I've got a selfie with Fred Hayes.
Friends. Yeah, that's right.
That's right. No, I don't think so. all righty. Well, let's move across to the Group 2 last night, the Sebelius Stakes and Cyclone Kate. Before you have a chat about that, here's how you call the tail end of this race.
About to peel and go three deep. It has been chased up, and then came Better Than Special Duvella, and Mistress of Illusion heads the remainder from Katie Perry to the outside. The deepest will be Sally Fletcher. They straighten up 27 third quarter. Cyclone Kate led. Smooth Showgirl. Frith looms large on the outside. She's trying to pick them up. It's still Cyclone Kate in front. Inch by inch, Frith trying to pick back the margin. Smooth Showgirl. Better Than Special's diving home back to the inside. It's finishing hard. It's come into contact there with Smooth Showgirl, but it's still Cyclone Kate in front. She's too good. She's too quick. And Cyclone Kate has beaten Better Than Special, Frith, and Duvella hammered home. So did Tact Haley's Delight. Then Helen's Bonus, Mistress of Illusion, Millwood Liberty, Sally...
All right, so Cyclone Kate picked up the money there, and punters were all over too. It paid $2 on the tote, $2.25 tab fix. So wasn't a surprise there, Fred.
Yeah, look, she's a quality race mare, Kev, and she... I'm just trying to think back. My memory's a bit hazy this morning, but I'm pretty sure it was... It might have been the Carousel or one of those good races at a carnival that she won last year, and she always showed that she had some depth to her, and last night I thought she took on a pretty high-quality field of race mares, and she was able to do it at both ends. I was quite impressed with her. You're right, it was no surprise. She was well-found in betting, and certainly I think we nominated her as our tab market mover on fixed odds in our update about 5 minutes prior to the race. But she's got a bit of depth to her. She can lead up, but she can also come from behind them if she needs to. And look, she'll go into the Ladyship Mile. Certainly will be kept safe in betting, I've got no doubt. She's got better with racing this term. She's a 17-time winner, and John McCarthy's done a terrific job with her. She's probably taken a little bit longer to come to hand, I think, this time round, but her last couple of runs have put the writing on the wall. She ran second last time out behind Salty Robin. We saw Salty Robin come out and... pardon me, Salty Robin come out and run third in the Chariots, and Cyclone Kate, she'll go into the Ladyship, and she's going to be very much to the fore. Of course, next Saturday, Kev, we've got the Miracle Mile qualifiers. Now, what happens this year is, and it changes a bit from year to year, but essentially what's happening next week, the first and second horses from the two Group 1 sprints, they get invitations to the Miracle Mile. So that takes care of four spots of the eight. Lazarus gets an automatic invite, having won the Chariot. So there are now three spots left. Those three spots will be determined by the directors based on horses who participated in the... in the two sprints, and horses who participated in the Chariots of Fire. So that'll be how the final field is determined. So next week is important. The sprints, we're likely to see, the best of the best take them on. The Victorian Brigade will come up. We'll see Smolder. Will our Waikiki Beach back up in the sprints? That's another one to consider. And you look at next week. The Purdens are going to be the All-Stars team. They're going to have horses like Smolder, Vincent in the Derby Heats, Moto Meteor, Party On in the Oaks Heats, Have Faith in Me. There's a lot of thinking that Have Faith in Me should be invited, irrespective of where it finishes next week, because it's the defending champion, and that's been a long-held ideal by the directors there at Club Menangle. But We want to see Have Faith in Me return somewhere near its best. Its colours were lowered last time it faced the starter, but it's a 147.5 Southern Hemisphere world, record holder down here. So you'd think as the defending champ, he should be in the race. So the All-Stars team potentially could have as many as four runners in the Miracle Mile if things all go according to plan. Horses like Have Faith in Me, Smolder, if they press on with our Waikiki Beach, and of course they've already got Lazarus there. So wouldn't that be a feat? Four of eight in the Miracle Mile. But there's a few horses, Kev, like Hector JJ and Blingadon and Lenny and a few of those other real good horses that'll have something to say about that.
See, it's mouthwatering, isn't it? The quality of the field that might be assembled for the Miracle Mile. It's possibly the strongest in many years, but it looks like it.
Well, I thought, coming into last year's Miracle Mile, you had the X Factor of Arms of an Angel, who was a brilliant run in the Chariots 2 weeks prior when she blew the start by a ridiculous margin and flashed home right down the outside and grabbed third and earned a spot from that run. You had the winner Have Faith in Me, who went 148 and a fraction. He obviously qualified automatically. So you had those two horses, but then you had Lenny the Shark, the defending Inter Dominion champ, coming into the race. And since then, Hector JJ has emerged by winning the Len Smith and truly stamping himself as a quality horse. And Blingadon has been a bit of a giant killer. You might nearly say it potentially could be one of the very best races that we've seen at Menangle for many a long day in terms of Miracle Miles.
Excellent. Well done, Freddie. Always entertaining and interesting. And what about today? Are you keeping cool somewhere? You got the diving in the pool out the back? Or
I've got one of those little clamshells for the dog. I might have to dive in that. No, I'm not travelling as well as you, Kev, so no swimming pool in my backyard, mate.
Please.
The bathtub will have to do me. But
Good. Look,
what I will do is I will be sitting down to watch some of the racing. Of course, I mentioned Orange Racing. They've got their Carnival of Cups Day on the grass at Towak Park. It came up terrific last week. Mark McNamara is going to be across from the Shaky Isles to call, reunited with his dream team co-member Greg Hayes. Greg will be up there doing some stuff for Sky Racing, so they'll be up there at Orange Towak Park. Any locals in the area, make sure you get out there, because I've done a few Carnival of Cup meetings at the Orange, or the old Orange track, not at the race course, of course, on grass, but they really put on a good day, Orange, so good luck to them. In addition to that, there's a Twilight Harness meeting at Canberra, Menangle Race Monday and Tuesday, and there's a Tuesday night meeting at Leeton this week. Parks is the Wednesday venue. Penrith, the regular Thursday night venue on Thursday. Newcastle, Friday. Now, Saturday next week, there's a non-tabba at Broken Hill. There's an Albury program, and then we've got the two Group 1 sprints at Menangle. At the Group 2, Robin Dundee, last chance to get into the ladyship, and there's the Group 2 Sapling for the younger horses. So it's going to be a big night, as well as Oaks and Derby Hoots next week as well. So it's going to be a huge, probably a 10-race card again. It really is going to be a cracker next week.
Geez, just a little bit on. All right. Freddie, thank you, as usual, always a pleasure, and we'll chat to you during the week.
For sure. Thanks, Kev. Good to talk to you.
Fred Hastings there, our main man in harness racing, and giving you an extensive coverage there of what happened last night and what's coming up in the next few weeks, culminating in the Miracle Mile in 2 weeks' time, which is, we can't wait for that with the quality of the field that's going to be assembled there. 13 to 11 here on Sky Sports Radio. That's one half of Chasing and Pacing Rewind completed. In just a moment, we'll have a look at what happened in greyhound racing, including the Group 2 Cranbourne Cup last night, and also heats of the Group 2 Bulleye Gold Cup. So that's coming up on Chasing and Pacing Rewind.
Greyhound racing takes place all over the world,
but Australia leads the way for sheer quality.
Stay with Sky Sports Radio, your racing leader.
And from thedogs.com.au, good morning, Stu Turner.
Morning, Kev. How are you going today?
Fine. I'm on top of the world. And how are you feeling? We've had another couple of pretty exciting race meetings overnight. I guess we should start with the Group 2 Cranbourne Cup. And before you tell us all about it, let's have a listen to the race.
And Big Flood was slow to begin away faster. Archie Fields from out wide. Going up quickly there came Don't Kid Me on the outside, and getting the outside is Big Flood around the first turn and rolling through Crackerjack Chock. Down the back at Archie Fields, leader. Over on the inside, Crackerjack Chock, and then came Big Flood, and wider out is Don't Kid Me. Two lengths away then came Mystery Ride. Up on the outside, Sleep Master, but deep out. Well back then came Dundee Osprey, Extreme Magic into the straight though. Crackerjack Chock the leader. Trying hard, Archie Fields again down the outer. Crackerjack Chock in front and won the back up. Crackerjack Chuck is one of Archie Fields and the gap to Don't Kid Me, followed then by Sleepmaster and then Kane Dundee Osprey, followed by Extreme Magic and back near the tail, Big Flood, and the time is showing at 30 and 15.
Yeah, there it was. Crackerjack Chuck got home at $33 on the tote, $26 on the fixed odds, and toppled the gun field, including Dundee Osprey. What'd you make of it all?
Yeah, look, we've seen so many fairy tale stories in these big races over the last 12 months, haven't we? And, yeah, we got another one last night too, an absolutely terrific win for Crackerjack Chock. As you said, $33 chance, causing a huge upset. I must admit, he wasn't really on my radar at all. I thought that Dundee Osprey would get that one, but look, a fantastic win for him. A first country cup for his trainer, Anita Court. And look, I've seen some pictures from Cranbourne and she was in tears of joy after the race. And why not? Well done to Anita and Connections, and a great win for Crackerjack Chock down at Cranbourne last night. Also at Cranbourne as well, Burn One Down, the brilliant stayer. He broke the 699-metre record down there, Kev. Look, he's going to be the clear top pick from Box 2 in the Group 1 Zoom Top this Saturday night at the Meadows. Another wonderful performance by Burn One Down.
Well, if Crackerjack Chock was a bit of a surprise result, certainly no surprise in one of these heats of the Group 2 Bulleye Gold Cup last night. Here's Gary Clark with his call of Race 5.
Ready and racing now, and Ritzolini come out with them out wide. Well away, Kong along with Costin. Ritzolini's driving through. Kong's going with it, and they're going as one into the corner. Two lengths away then, Costin. Similar margin, Ritza Rossi and Stem. Back of the tail, Willie May Hayes down the side, and Ritzolini got a break. Three lengths on Kong as they're about the turn. Then came Costin, followed by Ritza Rossi. But in the straight, the leader, Ritzolini. Kong's trying to come back. Ritzolini in front. Kong won't get it. Ritzolini beat Kong. Six away, third was Costin, and fourth, Ritza Rossi. A break in the field, the Stem, and Willie May Hayes the tail ender. Time recorded a brilliant 26.08.
And Ritzolini at $1.40. Sure price favourite. Got the money there at Bulleye.
He certainly did, Kevin. It's actually the heat of the Bulleye Gold Cup this Saturday night, so this was a bit of a warm-up for those. But Ritzolini is going to be an absolutely... look, he's going to be a clear standout in that series. Great to see him back racing, Kev. He was out for a little while with an injury, but he came back with a great win at Maitland last week, and he's got the win at Bulleye last night. Look, he's going to be a clear standout chance for that series, along with Topper Toretto, I think, as well, the Victorian, who was up at Bulleye last night and got a win for his trainer, Anthony Azzopardi. Topper Toretto absolutely loves coming to New South Wales. He won a big series at Dapto just before Christmas. I think he and Ritzolini are going to be the big chances in the Bulleye Gold Cup heats, which get underway on Saturday. And just quickly as well, at Wentworth Park last night, we saw Wicked Warrior score an absolutely scorching 29.64 victory over the 520 metres. Brilliant win for him. He's now won four of his last four, Kev. He's in dynamite form. I don't think he's going to have a crack at the Bulleye Gold Cup. I think he's more likely to have a go at the Richmond Derby, which gets underway in a couple of weeks. He's certainly one to watch in that. Do keep an eye on Wicked Warrior over the coming weeks.
All righty. Well, while we stay in New South Wales, we have the Bathurst Gold Cup decider on Monday. Falcon's Fury, Box 1. Looks a good thing.
He certainly does. You've never said a truer word. I've got to go with Falcon's Fury in the Bathurst Gold Cup. This brilliant New South Wales newcomer. Now, he didn't have much luck in the National Derby Series recently, or the Paws of Thunder. When I picked him on the show, I'm afraid I put the mockers on him there both times. Let's hope we don't do the same this week. He was back in form last week in the heat. He ran an absolutely sizzling 29.56, not far off the track record, and he's got box one in the final. Look, of the rest, I think Dandy Jack from box six is probably the biggest danger. His trainer, Ray Smith, having an absolutely fantastic run of success at the moment. But for me, Falcon's Fury, the one to be on from box one in the Bathurst Gold Cup.
And you'll hear it here, of course, on Sky Sports Radio, which is a huge day, isn't it? Monday, the Bathurst Gold Cup, along with what's happening at Grafton and with Randwick as well. And the Launceston Cup, what's going on there?
Yeah, that comes up tomorrow night as well.
Wow. So
it's going to be an absolutely wonderful day of racing tomorrow. And this looks a really competitive race, this one. $40,000 to the winner up for grabs in this one. Look, Kev, I've got to go with Pantera Nera in box two for this one. He's chasing a little bit of history, actually. If he wins this one, he'll only be the fourth greyhound to win the Devonport Cup and Launceston Cup double. He won the Devonport Cup last month. We've talked about him loads of times on the show before. He's won three group races, been an absolute star for his trainer, Gavin Burke. He's run really well in this series so far, and from this draw, he's got to be the one for me. Pantera Nera from box two in the Launceston Cup tomorrow night.
It is a massive night, isn't it? So that's in Launceston. What about around the state of New South Wales over the next 7 days? What have we got?
Yeah, we've got loads to enjoy this week, Kev. We've got the Twilight meeting down at Canberra later today. Then on Monday, it's Nowra and that meeting at Bathurst with the Gold Cup. What a cracker that looks. Tuesday, it's back to Goulburn, Lismore and Gosford. Wednesday, they jump at Richmond and Wentworth Park. Thursday, we've got Dubbo, Gosford and Dapto. Friday, they jump at Casino, Unibet Gardens and Richmond. And then Saturday, it's back to the Gardens, Wentworth Park, and that big night at Bull Eye featuring the Group 2 Gold Cup heats down there. One of the biggies of the year in New South Wales. So loads to look forward to. I'm really looking forward to it. And, of course, for your fields form and expert picks, visit thedogs.com.au.
Thank you, Stu. Enjoy your week. And no doubt we'll catch up with you several times over the next week or so. And enjoy your Sunday.
You take care, mate. Nice to speak to you.
Stu Turner from thedogs.com.au. Sky Sports Radio wrapping up Chasing and Pacing Rewind at 3 to 11.
Sky Sports Radio is proud to combine with Racing New South Wales to bring you every moment of the country championships.
Lofty's menu out under the archers has grabbed it. Books its ticket to Sydney, wins for the Duck.
This weekend is a two-pronged attack. Saturday, Goulburn stage the Southeast qualifier.
Then on Sunday, the country championships head to Dubbo for the Western Districts qualifier.
Racing HQ will have the tips, followed by our National Racing Service bringing you all the country championships action.
Here on Sky Sports Radio.
At Bingley, it's their 60th birthday, and they're still bringing you the best brands and best advice since way back in 1957. Head into Bingley today and grab a bargain during Bingley's 60th birthday celebrations.
Lose the beer gut without losing all the beers. G'day, Adam McDougall here.
I lost the beer gut.
My husband lost his beer gut.
Our dad lost his beer gut.
Thanks to the Man Shake.
Shake off those extra kilos today at themanshake.com.au.
Consult your GP before beginning any diet.
The Big Sports Breakfast is off to the cricket. Catch TK, Slats and the crew this Thursday morning
when they come to you live
from the historic Sydney Cricket Ground Members Pavilion.
It's for the Primary Club of Australia's Marathon of Cricket, raising funds to help provide sporting and recreational facilities for people with disabilities. The on-field action gets underway from 7 a.m.
But join the Big Sports Breakfast live from 5:30 this Thursday morning
here on Sky Sports Radio
and Sky Racing 1.
Lano, what are you doing?
Mum, I'm putting the aircon on.
Which one?
Mitsubishi, LG, Panasonic, Fujitsu.
All of them?
It's a big store. At Bingley, we've got all the latest air conditioners. So come in before it gets any hotter. Outside. I'm Lionel Lee.
Ooh, I'm Yenderly. Come and meet our team.
The Big Sports Breakfast.
Aussie runner John Stephenson gives an insight into his unique training session with Usain Bolt.
You know, the last rep, we had to run 100 metres. He said, John, do you want to race me? I looked at this guy like, are you normal or what's wrong with you, you know? So I said, yeah, okay, but you got to give me a head start. So he gave me a 20-minute head start. And I called Steph, got the W, boys.
Ah, you got
W.
It.
Got the W.
The Big Sports Breakfast. 5:30 weekdays on Sky Sports Radio and Sky Racing 1. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, TAB and USG Borrell.
Sky Sports Radio has a special edition of BSB Extra on Monday morning. Join Ron Duffacy, Ray Thomas and Glenn Munsey when they preview every Randwick race. Scratchings, track reports and the tips. Monday morning at 9 on Randwick. BSB Extra.
Here on Sky Sports Radio.
Almost 11 o'clock here on Sky Sports Radio. Now, this morning on the BSB weekend, Jimmy and Ray caught up with Peter Snowden and asked him firstly about how he thought about the transferring of the meeting to from Randwick to tomorrow.
Canberra,
Mike
Kind, LABN, here's a go. They hit it.
I think they made the right call.
Yeah.
If you're a participant, there's certainly a different story if you see the land in front of the air conditioner.
It's my kind of LABN.
The riders are feeling and the staff are feeling, you know what we're talking about. When it's extreme, it is extreme. It's very difficult. You've got an option. I think just going back to Monday night. Yeah, my
opinion
is smart and certainly the temperature is going to be a lot lower. Monday, what it would have been, far lot lower than Saturday. I wasn't here